This is Terry Bush with the Iroquois County Times-Republic, dated April 25, 2024. We begin, as usual, on the front page with the headline, Burcott's Representatives Address Economic Challenges with Watseka Council. The Watseka City Council agreed informally on April 23rd to work with Burcott's President Luke Katera and Joel Riggs, Associated Wholesale Grocers Representative, on ways to help the store work through economic challenges. Riggs and Katera were present at the City Council meeting. Riggs explained some of the challenges. He said AWG is a grocery wholesaler and provides groceries to members of the wholesaler all over the country. He said they are usually mom-and-pop-owned grocery stores. We have about 3,500 locations across the country, so we do deliver a lot of groceries to about 1,100 different groups. All of our members are members of a co-op, so our company is not for profit. Anything that we do is to focus on making sure that the retailers are successful. My background in this company has been involved in design and construction in getting new stores built, so I'm heavily involved in that development with most communities building new stores. In some cases, we get involved in situations like we do here, which is trying to ensure that an existing store can survive. That's why we're here. He said that the store is challenged and losing money monthly. It has been for a while, he said. What we would like to at least investigate, if you have an interest, is the economic development opportunity of looking at how we can try to solidify the longevity of this store for the foreseeable future. We're looking at every option that we have. Luke has been negotiating with his landlord, been looking at costs, trying to save money inside the store, looking at existing operational things that might try to save money internally. Unfortunately, we're down to a very last few straws as to where we are. Riggs said, when I talked to the mayor a few weeks ago with Luke, we talked about, is there an opportunity with this community to look at some type of property tax abatement over a period of time? The existing landlord and Luke have been working through lease issues for the last several weeks. We do have a verbal agreement that has been worked on. It has not been solidified in writing yet. It will at least allow him to operate with a lower rent for the foreseeable future if it does move forward, as it's been negotiated. We do think it's been negotiated in good faith. We don't see any issues, but we're looking at the opportunity, if it exists, to see if there's an opportunity for a property tax abatement. Riggs said they have not put firm numbers together. This is simply a, is this something you would consider? If it's not something you would consider, obviously there's things we would have to investigate and look at. But right now, all options are on the table for us to try and let this location survive. That's where we're at. Riggs said they are not giving an ultimatum. It is a, can we work together and figure out a solution that works for the community, works for Burcott's, and as a grocery wholesaler, we want to continue to supply a location and make sure it can be successful. Mayor John Allhand said he wants the grocery store to stay. I think we started bringing this up about a year and a half ago, he said. Allhand said the city has control of only about $4,800 of the store's property tax. Riggs said, I think what would be best is if we could provide a proposal and present to you for review and see if it makes sense to you. Alderman Scott Anderson said he's brought up the matter several times. He said, I don't want to lose your business. Anderson also noted that he'd be in favor of waiving the property tax. It's got to be started somewhere. We need to recognize that. Alderman Don Miller asked if they had approached other taxing bodies, and Riggs said they have not. Miller said, I like everyone else, don't want to see you go. We will try to do everything we can. I don't know how far we can go. Riggs said they would get something together and present it to the council. Alderwoman Yem Rolfs asked what the long-term plan is for Burcotts. Riggs said they had been talking about how to better utilize the space they have, even considering another business taking over some of that space. He said they use a lot of analytics to help them figure out what the customers want. The council and the two Burcotts representatives agreed to work together to find a solution. Next, Watseka Junior High Science Olympiad team takes third place at state. The Watseka Junior High School Science Olympiad team competed at the Illinois State Science Olympiad competition on Saturday, April 20, at the University of Illinois. Coach Troy J. Simpson said in an email, 15 varsity team members and 9 alternates combined to help the squad to its highest finish in 37 years of competition and bring home the school's first ever State Science Olympiad trophy with a third place finish in Class A. Only Chicago schools Lane Tech College Prep and St. Joan of Arc finished ahead of them in class out of the 23 schools in Class A. They competed in 23 different STEM events, including tower building, flight, fossils, science crime busters, and anatomy. The team earned medals in 8 events and finished in the top 10 in 9 others. In addition to the events which counted toward team standings, the squad also competed in exhibition trial events, earning medals in 2 of the events and in the top 10 in 2 others. In his email, Coach Simpson wrote, "We have had some pretty strong finishes the last few years with a couple of 6th-place finishes, and our best finish prior to this year was 5th place back in 2004. A goal always is to see how many medals we can earn and shoot for a top 10 team finish. State is the best of the best, and we know it is tough, considering the competition with all of the Chicago and suburban schools represented. We figured we'd have a good chance at earning medals in our build events, and we seem to do well in crime busters and fossils at State. As the individual awards were being announced, we thought we'd finish around 6th or 7th place based on our past experiences and maybe squeak a 5th place if all the cards played in our favor. Honestly, after 5th place was announced, we thought we'd landed about and began to think about how we finished in the other events." When they announced 3rd place, Watseka Junior High, it took a moment to realize that it was us, and then all I can say it was crazy excitement. We had to have done very well in the other events in order for this to happen. Once the overall results were posted, the team not only earned medals in 8 events, but scored high enough in the other events to help give our team an overall score that bested other squads who had more medals to give us the historic finish. It was a true team win, as this finish could not have been achieved without the top 10 finishes in the other events. It was a memorable day for the students and for us as coaching staff. It was also great to see former coach and teacher Terry Regnier there supporting his neighbor and being able to experience this day, having started the team 37 years ago. We would also like to thank the Crescent City, Woodland, and Watseka Fire Departments for escorting us back into town and giving our students a lasting memory for this big academic competition milestone. We are very proud of our students, the time they put in to prepare and compete at this level. Without that drive, the success we've experienced would not be possible. Our 8th graders came to play, and it showed, with them having a part in the 8 events that medaled. Next, Watseka Youth Baseball League, opening day, April 27. Opening day for the Watseka Youth Baseball League will take place on April 27. League President Coy Hamilton said the teams will line up at the Old Courthouse Museum and then make their way to Peters Park. The teams step off at 9 a.m. Once at Peters Park, there will be a short ceremony with Sean Peters of the Watseka Family Festival throwing out the first pitch. The athletes have been selling raffle tickets earlier this month, and the winners will be announced. There are 14 teams this year, from T-ball to Pony League, he said. The concession stand will be open and selling burgers, pizza, hot dogs, and other items. Games will start at 10:30 a.m. and continue through the day, with the last game scheduled at 2:30 p.m. We try to make it fun for the kids, Hamilton said. It's a day of baseball. Item next, ballot placement lottery conducted at Iroquois County Administrative Building. At 6:15 p.m. on April 17, a ballot placement lottery was conducted at the Iroquois County Administrative Building. According to information provided, Democrats won the ballot placement lottery and will appear first on the ballot in November. Republicans will appear second on the ballot. Then it was the Iroquois County Republican Party Convention at 7 p.m. 17 of the 19 elected precinct committee persons attended the county convention. Challenger Mitchell Bentz defeated the incumbent Lyle Behrens to become the new Iroquois County Republican Party chairman. The vote was 9-8 for Bentz. Dan Hughes was reelected vice chairman. He defeated challenger Lindsay Ishmael. Hughes also received 9 votes. Kurt Albers was reelected treasurer without opposition. Joseph Monak was elected secretary without opposition. Since there is only one Democratic precinct committee chairperson, there was not much of a convention for the Democratic Party. The Republican Party is looking for appointments for precinct committee persons and for a vacancy on the county board in District 2. Item next, St. Joseph Catholic Church to observe 150th anniversary. St. Joseph Catholic Church, 307 Union in Crescent City, will celebrate its 150th anniversary this year. To commemorate the event, Mass will take place at 10 a.m. Saturday, April 27, with a brunch immediately following at the Crescent City Community Center, 301 Main Street. The public is cordially invited to attend. St. Joseph Catholic Church was built in 1874. The building was 28 feet by 40 feet and cost $800. Prior to the church being built in 1869, monthly services were conducted in the home of J.D. Young. In 1870, Father Fannin, the priest in Gilman at that time, was appointed to the Crescent City Mission. St. Joseph has been a mission of various churches throughout the years, including Gilman, Ashcombe, and Martinton. The church is currently a mission of Watseka. Current pastor is Father Michael Powell. St. Joseph has been recognized as one of the oldest wooden churches in Iroquois County, still in use today. Next, we have suggested donations to the Watseka Area Food Pantry. For May, volunteers of Watseka Area Food Pantry suggest donations of bar soap, shampoo, deodorant, toothpaste, and toothbrushes. As always, these are only suggestions to help make donating easier. The food pantry also accepts many other items in addition to monetary donations. Watseka Area Food Pantry is located in the Fellowship Hall of Watseka First United Methodist Church, 301 South 4th Street. The entry is located under the canopy on the south side of the church in the alleyway. Donations are gladly accepted, but they need to be in their original packaging and not exceed the use-by date. Other items used by the pantry include baking supplies, laundry products, cleaning products, canned foods such as meats, fruits, soups, and vegetables, holiday meal fixing, breakfast and snack products, and paper products, which include paper towels, napkins, paper plates, tissues, and toilet paper. Households in Iroquois County are served and must meet federal income guidelines. Assistance from the pantry can be received every 6 weeks. To donate, or if you need items from the pantry, call 815-432-0122. Again, the number for the Watseka Area Food Pantry is 815-432-0122. Please call between 9 and 11 a.m. weekdays. Some days are so busy it may take a while for someone to answer your call. There is no voicemail at that number. If you need items from the pantry, you should call on the day you want to pick up your items. Orders can be filled and left curbside for pickup. The Watseka Area Food Pantry is a nonprofit organization which relies on donations and volunteers. During 2023, volunteers assisted by serving about 6,200 hours, helping with deliveries, filling orders, shopping, stocking shelves, and doing computer work. More than 1,700 Iroquois County households were assisted in 2023. Item next, Eastern Illinois Food Bank announces Foodmobile food giveaways in Iroquois County. Eastern Illinois Food Bank is distributing food to area families facing food insecurity. The Foodmobile will travel throughout southern Iroquois County on May 16 and northern Iroquois County on May 22, with distribution sites and times, and for each town listed at eifoodbank.org/help. Again, that's eifoodbank.org/help. Those planning to attend should pre-register at www.eifclient.com, although doing so does not guarantee a place in line. Income guidelines are DHS maximum monthly gross income for receipt of USDA commodities for fiscal year 2024, which is July 1, 2023 through June 30, 2024. For a household size of one and a monthly income of $3,645. Household size of two and monthly income of $4,930. Household size of three and monthly income of $6,215. Household size of four and monthly income of $7,500. Household size of five and monthly income of $8,785. Household size of six and monthly income of $10,700. Household size of 7 and monthly income of $11,355. Household size of 8 and monthly income of $12,640. Household size of 9 and monthly income of $13,915. Household size of 10 and monthly income of $15,210. For households with more than 10 persons, add $1,285 for each additional person. Updates regarding future food distributions can be found at the food bank's website, www.eifoodbank.org. Item next, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police warn of new scam in the area. Iroquois County Sheriff's Police are warning the public about a new scam that has targeted several residents. According to information from police, the scammers are calling individuals on the state sex offender registry, posing as detectives and demanding money. The caller tells the individual they are wanted for failure to appear to provide a DNA test and says a notice was mailed. The scammer then says the person can avoid arrest by paying them a fee in cash using a prepaid gift card. Scammers also may ask for personal information such as a Social Security number or bank account. The Iroquois County Sheriff's Office will never contact anyone by telephone and ask for personal account information or payment of any kind to avoid arrest. Residents should not provide any personal information and simply hang up. Item next, Watseka United Women in Faith to meet May 2nd. The Watseka United Women in Faith will meet at 1:30 p.m. Thursday, May 2nd in the church's fellowship hall. Pastor Ann Kume, a former missionary and hospital administrator in Liberia, will give a presentation about her March 2024 mission trip to Liberia. She's currently serving as pastor of the Ambia, Indiana United Methodist Church. Watseka United Methodist Church is located at 301 South 4th Street in Watseka. Everyone is welcome to come to this program about ministry in Liberia. Item next, ICHS to conduct annual meeting. The Iroquois County Historical Society will conduct its annual meeting on Sunday, April 28 at 1 p.m. at the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry in Watseka. This meeting takes the place of the regular monthly meeting. Right after the meeting, John Whitman will give a presentation on the Roth House, which is located in Watseka. ICHS volunteers have been working diligently on cleaning up the museum, setting up new displays, and getting repairs and updates made. ICHS is a nonprofit organization which depends on donations to help with the maintenance of the Old Courthouse Museum. In May, ICHS will take part in Watseka's town-wide garage sales. Items will be set up on the museum grounds Friday and Saturday, May 17 and 18. Item next, Senator Tom Bennett hosts Youth Advisory Council in Springfield. Earlier this month, State Senator Tom Bennett, Republican of Gibson City, welcomed dozens of high school students from across the 53rd Senate District to the Illinois State Capitol in Springfield to learn more about the state's legislative process as part of his Youth Advisory Council program, according to information from his office. Senator Bennett said, "I want the students to realize it is up to them where we go in the future. I am deeply appreciative of the opportunity to spark inspiration and offer guidance to the next generation." Senator Bennett's YAC program allows local high school students to learn more about government through two meetings held each school year. During the fall meeting, students heard from local leaders and had the opportunity to propose ideas for new legislation. Normal Community High School student Sophia Boyer said, "Over my few years in high school, I've developed a real big interest in politics, and I think this is a great opportunity to work with one of our state senators, have our voices heard, and act as a resource for the youth." During the recent YAC meeting, students took on the various roles involved in the legislative process for a mock committee hearing in an actual Senate committee room at the Capitol complex. The students served as lawmakers discussing and voting on the proposal, concerned citizens and lobbyists advocating for and against the issue, and reporters covering the hearing. Coal City High School student Reese Shear said, "It's important for students to learn about how government works because we are the future. I would most definitely encourage any student to take part in this because it is something you do not get to experience very often." Senator Bennett's YAC program is open to high school students in the 53rd Senate District. He encourages interested students to ask their teachers and or principals about taking part in the future. Item next, First Financial to launch book drive. First Financial Bank is launching a book drive at its location in Watseka with the goal of contributing to improved financial literacy in the community. Books about personal finance and other subjects can be dropped in a specially marked bin in First Financial at 216 South 4th Street from May 6 through 24. All members of the community are welcome to join the effort. Donors do not need to be First Financial Bank clients. At the end of the campaign, First Financial Associates will deliver the books to local organizations such as schools, libraries, and nonprofits, according to information from the bank. Riddell McCullough, Chief Corporate Responsibility Officer for First Financial Bank, said this will be a fun drive for everyone involved, and we're looking forward to filling every one of these book bins. Reading and financial literacy often go hand in hand, so this is an opportunity to team up with the community to help our neighbors improve their financial well-being. a list of financial resources and recommended books on finance for all ages will be available at each financial center. First Financial also offers financial wellness tools and resources online at bankatfirst.com. During First Financial's most recent book drive in 2022, the bank's associates, clients, and other community members collected more than 20,000 books throughout Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, and Illinois. The book drive is the latest example of First Financial's work to help local communities. The bank and its associates gave more than $4 million and 14,000 volunteer hours throughout its four-state footprint in 2023. Earlier this year, First Financial also announced a new community benefits agreement in which it committed $2.4 billion in lending and investments to low and moderate income clients and census tracts from 2024 through 2028. Item next, Illinoisans can now get documents notarized online. Illinoisans who need a notary public can now access those services online through a new e-notary portal launched by the Secretary of State's office. This process is one of the latest initiatives of Secretary of State Alexei Giannoulias's ongoing effort to modernize the office and its services. Notaries are state-appointed officials who administer oaths, certify documents, and act as witnesses to document signings for things like affidavits and bills of sale. Until now, notary services could be performed remotely so long as the parties involved were in Illinois and the notary physically signed and sealed the notarized document. Now the process can occur fully online through one of 12 notarization service providers listed on the Illinois Secretary of State's website, ilsos.gov. All parties can now participate remotely, and notaries are allowed to use electronic signatures and seals. Individuals using e-notary services must have a valid ID and access to a device supporting audio-video communication. The office is also in the process of moving other functions online, including by creating an electronic lien and title system, allowing drivers to manage vehicle titles online instead of through the mail. That system is slated for rollout this summer, according to a modernization report published by the Secretary of State's office last week. The office is also going to start rolling out kiosks that would allow Illinoisans to renew their licenses, IDs, and vehicle registration at various community institutions like libraries and grocery stores. Giannoulias said they will start with 10 locations, including one on the second floor of the state capitol, and hopefully expand to 150 within a year. And finally, the public is invited to join Illinois Extension and the Cisna Park Community Library for an introduction into sourdough bread making, May 23, 5:30 p.m., Cisna Park Community Library, 511 North 2nd Street in Cisna Park. Led by Illinois Extension's Rachel Mannon, the workshop will delve into the science behind sourdough fermentation. Participants will learn the essential steps for building and maintaining a thriving starter, including feeding techniques, troubleshooting tips, and expert care practices. Registration is required and closes on May 16. Reserve your spot at go.illinois.edu/sourdoughcisna. This has been Terry Bush with the Iroquois County Times-Republic, dated April 25, 2024. I look forward to reading with you again next week.